Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here once again, as usual, complaining about the cold.
Because we're so hot.
We're in the tropics.
We're so hot. That's what it is.
Hot blooded.
Yeah. Yes. They're doing a little bit of work. I don't know if any of the presenters have mentioned this. They're doing a little bit of work on the building, so our studio is kind of toasty.
It's very toasty.
It's
great for growing tomatoes or strawberries or grapes.
Or
you know, there'd be loads of stuff you could grow at this temperature now that would do great.
I think there's mushrooms growing in some of the corners actually already. I'm just keeping an eye on it. Recently, my husband has been making a big effort to be more romantic. He takes us out for a nice dinner once a month. He'll often bring flowers home. However, there's one particular area of his affections which is causing me increasing alarm. He's given me 3 separate gifts of lingerie over the past 2 months. I feel distinctly uncomfortable wearing things like this. I'm not used to it. It isn't me. The first time he brought lingerie home, I felt I had to put it on after he went to the expense. A crimson negligee thing with lace. I nearly... Jesus. Somebody's emailed in from the 1970s. I nearly died. Now he keeps asking me when I'm going to put on the other garments he's bought. One of them is a pair of knickers, which is missing its gusset. I actually thought, well, gusset. Send it back, yes. I actually thought it was defective and asked him to return it. Until he explained it's supposed to be that way. I have told him I feel more comfortable in my pyjamas, but he says we have to make an effort to keep the romance alive. I know he's right, but do I have to put these skimpy things on, or can I still wear my dressing gown and keep the romantic candle lit?
I mean,
wow.
In fairness, I feel this woman's pain. Like,
okay.
I totally get it. And I mean, I'm now at the stage where in most things in my life, I prioritize comfort over any attempt at either style or certainly being sexy. That's gone a long time ago. But even when I was younger and slimmer, I always felt ridiculous in any kind of skimpy, sexy kind of lingerie because I was just too big. I looked ridiculous as well. And I felt ridiculous. And if you feel ridiculous, that's kind of defeating the object of the exercise.
Yes,
no matter how he feels about it. If you feel ridiculous, you can't play whatever mad fantasy thing that he has going on in his head. I also love the fact that in this letter, the woman wrote gusset. I haven't heard that word for
a long time.
It's a fabulous, fabulous word. I'm going to think of ways
you
of using that
back.
Now. Yeah, bring back the gusset. Anyway.
It should be there, Barbara, or it's defective.
So, you know, I mean, as we've often talked on this lot when it comes to sexy time, like if you're not comfortable with something, and that includes wearing ridiculously daft, supposedly sexy lingerie, then you're quite entitled to say, I don't feel sexy in this. Therefore, what is the point?
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. It's killing it for me. I think, however, when she said she likes her pajamas and her dressing gown, I get a different vision in my head then. So I'm thinking there's probably a compromise situation.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle. That wouldn't be the cozy kind of dressing gown, which conjures up in my head, like snuggling up on the sofa on a cold night with your hot chocolate looking at the telly.
Did you put out the milk bottle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think there's probably a halfway house somewhere where she could find something that perhaps was a little bit more sexy, but, you know, not gussetless or not making her feel ridiculous. She has got to look comfortable. You do not have to dress up in stupid stuff that your husband brings home. Absolutely, definitely, 100% not.
Okay. Put out the milk bottles, Declan.
Yeah, I'm on Coronation Street. Cringing going here. I was a child. There used to be an ad on when I was a kid of you know, people getting ready for bed and they were all in their horrible...
Putting out the cat and putting out the milk bottles.
That's what you got to look forward to in life. Look, this is about a couple of things. One, obviously, is the topic that you mentioned about how somebody feels when they're given something allegedly sexy to wear, and what that says about what the other person is intimating by doing that. This woman is correct if she feels objectified or kind of a bit strange by it to kind of put her hand and go, I don't want to do this. Then there's a whole issue about sexual preferences and what people are into and what people think is attractive or sexy. You alluded to how you felt when you put on, like, you know, crimson, gussetless, lacy underwear back in the day.
I never said I actually put on crimson gussetless. Sorry, I just want to make that quite clear. Never said that. Definitely never said that.
Okay, sorry.
My problem is with thongs, if you have to know.
Never
getting
into places.
Well,
I never understood.
Yeah. Dangerous.
But
like,
also,
cut
it
you
is
in half.
The most uncomfortable feeling of having something
It's all about kind of like, you know, having something on but not having something on. It's all this kind of, you know, it's almost kind of fetish wear. And we were talking about this earlier on. I was telling Barbara that I went to see a premiere of a film earlier on this week of a new film that's been produced by the Irish film company Element Pictures. But the subtext, the story is about two gay men who are involved in the kind of the leather sub scene of the gay thing.
Coming in here to do this, you've no idea.
To be honest, so did I. So I mean, that's the whole thing. I learned lots watching it too about, and this is allegedly my own kind of scene, but the whole premise of the scene and of the movie and of this topic with this woman with her lacy underwear is that if it's not for you, it's not for you. And if it is for you, then you'll find something about it that you're going to find interesting. But it has to be consensual and you have to want to do it. And she doesn't want to do it. She has to work out whether or not whether the person she's in a relationship wants to do it and why they want to do it, because that's the compromise that you're talking about. It isn't just a clothing compromise. It's a compromise about how people find ways to be intimate with each other and having open conversations with her husband about what it exactly it is that he is trying to say by giving her these things, because if it doesn't make her feel good, then how can it really make her feel sexy?
Yeah, but you see, from his point of view, he's not thinking that at all. He's just thinking what makes him feel good.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the times as well, you're sold this idea lingerie in a little, you know, box handed to somebody is the ultimate kind of romantic gift, when in fact,
and that's
it's
baloney
not.
That
it
society has fed women for decades.
And men, though. I'm saying that men
but
are
men
fed
buy
it too.
Into it as well. Do you know what I mean? And it's all about the kind of, you know, the male idea as to what is sexy. But if you don't feel sexy as a woman, well, then it's not sexy.
Yeah.
Because it's not a collaboration in what's
exactly,
sexy.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And that's kind of where maybe in a kind of objectifying kind of way, making the woman kind of gussy herself up for the man is kind of central to a kind of patriarchal view of sexuality. And it's not collaborative, it's not consensual, it's
like
it'd not.
Be like if he came home with a schoolgirl outfit and said, put this on, because that really turns me on. It's all coming from, this
but
kind
of
really.
But for some people, that does tap into their kind of sexuality. And I think it's very dismissive to turn around to say to somebody, it's wrong, full stop, no. Like, that's immoral. Perspective that's just flipping it around and making it. You can't just say that's you're looking at me quizzically, Barbara.
I think the schoolgirl thing is different, but I think that if it doesn't make if he doesn't know his wife well enough to know that she's not comfortable wearing this kind of to me in my my naive way, to me sounds kind of over the top. Like there's sexy lingerie and there's kind of, you know, porn kind of outfits. And they're two separate things. You know, he could buy her a nice lacy bra and a nice pair of frilly knickers that she might feel really nice in. Although I have this thing about bras are ridiculous. Don't think any woman needs a bra. But anyway, and that would be different. But I think, I think if he's trying to make her wear stuff, not trying to make her, but he's giving her stuff that she doesn't feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
It is wrong.
Yes, of course, and that's because
and
the conversation needs to happen.
From a moralistic point of view.
No, but that's exactly it. But she needs to interrogate exactly why, because coming at it just from a point of view of you gave me something I don't want isn't enough. There needs to be a conversation saying, well, what is it you're trying to do with that? Because can't you see that it makes me feel not the opposite of what you're trying to achieve, which is it makes me feel unsexy. It makes me feel objectified. It also makes me wonder what you're actually trying to do here.
Yes.
Because maybe in the root of it, there is something that he's trying to do that may be a bit odd to her. But if she chooses to explore it, it might actually be as simple as he wants to do something that's not the norm for them. They want he wants them to behave in a way that's not every day.
To take off Joe and
Mary,
gown.
Joe yeah. and Mary doing the yeah. normal thing. Let's do something a bit freaky, as the kids say.
Yeah. A lot of people are suggesting that perhaps they go out shopping as a couple.
Yeah, that's
and perhaps
a good idea.
Buy something there. I also just googled pajamas with no gusset. There's no such product.
There's yeah. no such oh, well, product. Yes, really.
Dragon's
which
Den.
I, which there I thought go. That would be the perfect compromise. Really?
Oh God!
Everyone's happy there. One of my colleagues had us over for a housewarming a few weeks ago. She's a friend and colleague. We've a good gang in work and really get on. I know her partner well, and over the years, we would have spent a lot of time together going to gigs and out for dinner, and he gets on with my boyfriend. I know she was house hunting and was excited to see her new place. I'm gobsmacked because it's gorgeous, enormous, and in an incredible location. I know how much she earns, as we're in similar salaries. And our fella doesn't have a big job either. The house they bought must have cost an absolute fortune. I know for a fact there's no way that their jobs could have got them a mortgage anywhere near the price of the house. They never mentioned getting extra cash or even a little help from parents. But now I'm questioning everything. It just doesn't make sense that they can afford such a spectacular house. I really want to ask how they've done it, but is that rude? I just feel like there's an elephant in the room, as one of them, or both, must have been given hundreds of thousands of euro, and they said absolutely nothing. Surely I can't just ignore it. I've been refreshing the property price register, but it's not uploaded yet.
I read this. I had an accent for the person that wrote this letter. I have a whole backstory.
No, I'm not
paid enough to do that. But what I would do is I would suggest that this character who wrote in the letter needs to take a good hard look at herself, because there's a lot of like, there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of kind of like, you know, curious minds have the right to know kind of vibes off this. Because it is actually nosy. It's kind of very indiscreet, and it's kind of none of your business how somebody makes somebody. Because the answer maybe that you don't want to hear is, they're better than you. You know, they won the lotto. They're drug dealers. You know, who cares? Because at the end of the day, it still comes down to the same point, which is that you're not happy.
I don't know if drug dealers puts them in the category of better than you. But
That was an Oxford comment. Yes. I was kind of going through various categories of what the answer could be.
So she'll be grand, like when Cab arrives. She'll feel good then.
Maybe, because, you know, ups and downs, swings, you know, investments can go up as well as down. But the reality of it is that it's kind of like, you know, what is your problem here? Like, your problem is that somebody else has something that you think that you should have. Is that really what
it is, exactly,
this boils down to? And if that's the case, well, then, you know, you're going to have a tough life, because that's going to be a common recurring feeling that you're going to have.
And it's one of the worst things you can do in life is to keep comparing yourself to others who are at the same stage in life, for, you know, if you like, comparing what they have and what they own, what they drive, where they live, to you. That is the hiding to nothing. And it is a sure
and knowing
road.
The price of everything and the value of nothing and all that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's, and as you said, Jack, it's actually none of their business. And the other thing is, you know, we've often talked again on this lot about how you never know what goes on inside other people's relationships. You also never really know what goes on inside other people's finances. You know, people can be earning the same amount of money, but have different priorities, are better at saving, you know, That will always mean that you'll be saying, how did they afford to go on that holiday? Or how did they afford to go and buy that thing? And it's a stupid, ridiculous.
But it still does boil down to the fact that what you're doing is you're looking at other people's lives and other people's existence through a prism of, I want. This is about
it's
me.
Naked
this
jealousy.
Is about me. This is about me. This is about me. And that's just pure disgusting.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, they don't have to tell you where they got the money from in order to do this.
Absolutely not. No.
It is their business.
You could hire a private investigator.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
And it is absolutely none of your business. But as I say, I really would worry that if you're doing this now, you're going to keep doing this, and you've got to stop doing this and stop looking at what other people have can afford and comparing it to your situation. That is a hiding to nothing, and it is a total waste of your time and your energy and everything else.
There's another thing that just struck me there is that if these people are kind of close friends and they're having conversations, there's this kind of weird communication curtain between them in some way, that this person doesn't feel that they can actually say, like, oh my God, you know, how did you manage to get this place? So, like, you know, it's so expensive. I could never afford something like this. and see what the answer is. Because if the person doesn't want to have that conversation, they'll evade it. Yeah. So it seems to me maybe they did try and the conversation has been evaded, because that's, again, pointing the finger back at the person who's asking all the questions.
Yeah, exactly.
They're coming off as real kind of nosy. But if you do want to know, you have friends and you're, you know, having open conversations. I don't like the idea that we live in a world where people are kind of evasive about where they got what they got, because that leads to kind of...
Do you think that's an Irish thing? That we don't really like talking about money and about, you know, what you have or what you don't have, or...
And plus also, you're worried about that if you did do that, people thought, God, you think you're great, don't you?
I will also refer to the fact that Donald Trump hasn't released his tax returns. So there's you know, it is an international thing, and it is about accumulation of wealth and assets and stuff like that. And it does, as I've already said, lead to a kind of a world where it's all about the price of something and never about the actual value, the meaning or the happiness that something gives you. God, I said
I love the right sentence. I know for a fact there's no way their jobs would have got them a mortgage anywhere near the price of the house.
Surely I just can't ignore it. Oh my God, you're a dope.
Stop.
Questioner. Sorry about that. And everybody agrees with the two E. And people are screaming at the radio.
Well, that's great. That's good.
I've been on 4 dates with a man who's gorgeous. He's very intense and expects us to be texting constantly throughout the day. I had a busy work day last week, so didn't reply to him for 4 or 5 hours, and he rang me that evening quite annoyed. I enjoy the flirting, and it's really nice to have somebody checking in. The texts are generally innocuous, a bit of banter and a few sexy messages, but it is constant. I feel like I have to reply and the conversation just never stops. I'm not used to this behaviour, as to be honest. I've had people who've left me on unread for days before this. I quite like the attention, but it's beginning to be a turn-off. How do I bring it up? And how should you be texting when you're just getting to know each other? We live 2 hours away from each other, so we can't quite see each other that much. So I understand how important it is to chat and communicate, but I can't be coming out of meetings to 20 messages. It's stressing me out.
God. Yeah, I mean, you know, I love the way she said he is gorgeous, but he's very intense. He's not very intense. He's actually very needy. And there is a difference. There are also the other questions she asked, which I thought was hilarious, which was like, how much should they be texting each other when you're just getting to know each other? Like, love, there's no rules. Do you know what I mean? There are no rules here. But this does sound completely over the top, and constant texting somebody is exhausting. You know, when you're trying to go about your day, whether that's you're in meetings or you're looking after your kids or whatever you're doing, if if your phone is constantly buzzing, especially didn't she say they were innocuous messages? I mean, you know, they're clearly not about anything very much. So
just had a lovely ham sandwich.
Yeah, like that's not. And again, we've often talked about communication, how important it is to communicate. That's not communication. That's just a cry for attention from him. He wants more attention all the time on him. I would see this as like a potential issue down the road.
A bit of banter and a few sexy messages. Someone's already texted in capital letters.
Oh gosh.
To say red flag, red flag, red flag.
Yeah, I would kind of think there's a point to that.
I'm trying to agree there. Yeah, perhaps.
The bit that's the red flag to me isn't just the broadcasting of messages, because unfortunately we live in a world where we're kind of trained with social media and all that to kind of blah, 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 this is what I had for dinner. However, it's getting annoyed when somebody doesn't answer. You know, that's the bit that's jumped out of the letter here for me. I think the reality of it is, though, is all communication is a two-way street. You don't control what you're getting, but you can control what you send back. And I think that if this person feels that they're not able, for whatever reason, to not reply to 100 messages a day and can only reply twice a day, that's fine, as long as it's fine for the other person. And if it's not fine for the other person, you need to know why. Because if it's that you're not giving me the attention I deserve, then red flag, dump them.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing I don't understand was where she asked, how do I bring it up? You just say, I can't answer your texts all the time.
Yeah.
So if you don't like that, like, I'm sorry, but I'm in meetings, I've stuff to do, I can't be answering your texts all day long. And if you have a problem with that, I would see it as a potential red flag.
You could also, if you want to be a little bit kind of gentle about it, go, I'm going to be in meetings all day.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the day, or my phone's going to be off, and just kind of give yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, common sense.
Yeah.
Normally, if somebody doesn't reply to you straight away, you think there might be some reason other than, oh, they're not giving me attention.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes you have to set up, you have to negotiate the rules of your relationship, the communication style of your relationship and what you're able, willing, because people are different. Two needy people, you know, could be blinging text messages all day. You don't even realize that they're being needy because they just have a match. And, you know, other people, you know, are in perfectly happy relationships and they don't even speak to you all day.
Yeah.
A lot of everyone's sexting and saying this is a controlling red flag. Dumpsville.
God, all the people are, we're on side with everybody today. This is great.
I've been seeing this guy for a few months. It's all going well. I recently started spending more time at his place. I just found out that he sleeps with a stuffed toy. A Winnie the Pooh bear he's had since he was three.
We know who he is.
Full on, tucked under his arm every night. Some mornings I've even woken up with poo staring right at me with his lifeless beady eyes. Or I've had it shoved in my face after some nights of tossing and turning. I don't know if it's cute or concerning. Am I a bad person for thinking that a grown man should not be still obsessed with his cuddly toy? And can I help him get over it?
Love, Fergie. That's the man formerly known as Prince Andrew.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, God.
He sleeps with, that's one of the things, yeah. Oh, right. I've just read that book, what's it called, entitled, Holy God, it is a mind melt. Man's a lunatic.
I wouldn't
But he sleeps with a load of cuddly toys.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Sorry, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Look, this thing, I have the same reaction as this person does. It's a bit, to me, it's a bit weird.
Winnie the Pooh.
If somebody has a kind of nostalgic vibe with their childhood toy, okay, fine. But it to me, that says stuff about developmental issues.
Oh, that's harsh.
Come on, you know, grow up. I think, you know, it is a bit of that. It's a bit like, you know, my mummy loves me kind of vibes.
And it's a
bit,
what harm?
I just think that
and
person.
I mean, Winnie the Pooh is not any kind of just any bear. Like, Winnie the Pooh was a philosophical kind of, you know, deep thinking bear. I can understand somebody being attached to Winnie or Paddington Bear. I think both those bears are, you know, they're very acceptable.
I couldn't bear it.
You couldn't bear it all. No. I don't see
a
problem.
Okay, so it's the bear makes it.
The bear makes the choice. Difference. I'm not keen on the idea that he cuddles the bear. You know what I mean? But having the bear on his bed, I think, you know, and even in the bed, I don't really have a big issue with that. Now, I am not suggesting that my dearly beloved sleeps with a bear. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really have a... And especially Paddington. I have a big soft spot for Paddington or for Winnie the Pooh. Especially Winnie the Pooh.
Okay,
I think that's okay.
But if it was another variety of bear, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Now,
Rupert. Bear from Dunstores.
Rupert the bear.
If it was Rupert the bear, would you think that was weird?
Yeah, or that's just a bit weird. Yeah,
you're just judgmental. Yeah. I have the decency.
No, there's a hierarchy of bears. Yeah. There's a hierarchy of bears. And I think at the top is Winnie the Pooh. Second is Paddington and all the other bears. And then you've generic bears, which are two a penny.
The ones you make yourself then.
No, you buy them in Dunn's or wherever. And they're just like regular bears. But no, I think Winnie the Pooh shows a certain class. I quite like the idea of having Winnie.
I think the bear signifies somebody who's kind of cuddling onto something. And it's
do you have no stuffed toys at home, like one or two
in my head? You'd probably find something somewhere, but you know,
there you go.
Storage.
You see? There you go. Why have you still got it? And then you're giving
out
to him for having it in his bed.
There's a nostalgic value that somebody goes, oh, when I was a child, this belonged.
So if you put
me.
Him on a shelf, would that be okay?
Yeah.
Have you a bear?
No. I have a dog, by the way. Mine is a dog.
A dog
stuffed
bear?
Dog.
Yeah,
a real dog. I had stuff.
You don't have a real dog. You've never had a real dog.
I just trying to say.
I have a real dog. I wish it was stuffed half the time.
Stop!
So what are we saying to this woman?
I say that's fine. You know, and I really have a problem with her describing Winnie the Pooh's dead, lifeless eyes. Like, he's a bear. Of course his eyes are dead and glassy.
Yeah, well, of course.
Like, if they were alive and moving
Isn't
around,
it weird,
you'd
though,
have
having
a problem.
I wouldn't have a problem with it other than...
He's cuddling them.
He's got Winnie the Pooh in the bed when they're having sexy time.
Well, that's
I'm not a psychologist, thank
well,
God.
I assume, but you know.
I do feel that there's something about it that just reeks of somebody who isn't able to let go of old routines, habits and practices. And that
I totally disagree. I think he's fond of his Winnie the Pooh bear. And I think that's perfectly okay.
In
touch with his softer side. And I think that's great. So I don't see any problem at all. I don't think she needs to help.
Okay, split decision. Decision on that one. Sorry, correspondent on that one. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.